I would say that it's the kind of event that you can come at it from whatever angle floats your boat. We've got folks for whom the history side is a big deal. Others, it's the costuming, or it's the engineering, the tinkering side, or the music, or the cosplay, the fantasy. It is all of those things. It is no one thing. And I think it just gives people an opportunity to have fun and engage in their hobbies in a way that brings a lot of people together.
Let's go to the history part. It's a history that never was. How does that appeal to historians?
So, you know, and that's sort of the strange tension a little bit sometimes. If you get these sort of purist historians, then yes, it probably rankles a little bit. But there is a lot of actual history of the Victorian era that people play off of, that makes its way into steampunk literature. I mean, you have to base it on some sort of reality, right? So a good example is we've got one of our headline presenters who's coming here, Dr. Professor Vitruvius Pike. He is an engineer and a historian, and he'll be presenting one of his talks is about the mystery airships of 1896, which was an actual occurrence where people over the course of a couple months saw these airships in the sky, and it caused mass hysteria and panic. And so he's talking about what that could have been. Were there someone that, you know, beat the Von Zeppelin? Somebody was in the air maybe before the folks that we recognize as being the, you know, the early flight.
The originators of
right.
Of
so
blitz.
there's that kind of history. He's also doing a talk on the humbug P.T. Barnum and the hoaxes of the era when there was all the pseudoscience and these are real things, but they're fascinating and they're fun and they're engaging. And so I think it's one of those types of things where it's real history, but we're kind of have sort of this levity with it, and you can come to it with the idea that this is not some history presentation. It is, in fact, there's a lot of really fun and engaging things that went on in the Victorian era that we can celebrate.
Right, and it's also the fantasy and entertainment elements of it, too.
Yes.
One of the performers that we'll have at the BCPA, Joshua Kane, who's doing his performance of Gothic at Midnight, is basically a classic vaudevillian. So he is doing pieces from Poe and Twain and people who in the Victorian era have heard performed. So he is doing pieces that are macabre and humorous and doing a lot of interaction with the audience, just as the authors who were performers themselves did, you know, live readings during that era would have done during the Victorian era.
Let's talk about the cosplay aspect of it. Would you, Melanie, would you try to explain the allure of it, the satisfaction of it, the fun that people have with it to someone who has never done that, who's never been a part of the Society for Creative Anachronism, who's never dressed up in Victorian era clothes or geeked out to a death ray or some sort of thing that is technology that isn't there but might have been had the world gone a different way?
I think that the costuming side is probably the most, obviously it's the most visible, also the most approachable. And so we have folks for whom costuming is a big deal. A lot of folks from like the Ren Faire world kind of spill over into steampunk, and some of these folks make these just amazing period creations that then they add aspects on. And so that's a very, you know, complex way to go about it. But for a lot of us, myself included, a lot of the fun is you go to thrift stores and you tear apart things that you've dug out of your closet or your friend's closet, and you do very creative things with them. You skirt hikes and you modify jackets into tailcoats, and you you know, you find a crazy pair of boots and maybe you know dress them up with, you know, accessories, and it becomes sort of this statement of whatever you can envision and whatever you can put together. And I think it allows adults to kind of have the fun of Halloween with a whole bunch of other folks who are also having a really good time. And what's beautiful about the steampunk community is, unlike a place like Comic-Con, where you might have, 20 or 30 folks dressed up as Flash, or, you know, whose costume is the best, who's the most accurate, who really nailed the look of that superhero. In steampunk, there's no wrong. And so there's no way to judge. And the steampunk society overall is a very inclusive, what I want to say, just very, very positive. And you see someone and they say, wow, I love how you did that bustle. I love your hat. And suddenly there's this immediate reason to talk to a stranger and share an idea and where you thrifted it. And there's, I guess, just sort of this openness of conversation that is sort of lacking in society sometimes. And this is a really beautiful way to just bring people together over something really fun and creative, but without a lot of expense. I've put together outfits for, $6-$8 that I found at the Mission Mart, and go to the ReStore here in town and got parts from a ceiling fan and made a jet pack and, again, probably $15. And that fun, as you're walking around in a costume and having people stop you and go, can I take your picture? That is amazing. You know what? That's totally worth it. It's
well,
so much fun.
We just had a workshop, how to make a bustle out of a tablecloth. And the total cost of making most of those bustles
$5
about, under $10.
Yeah.
How do the people who believe in a, to call it a heroic adventure portrayal of steampunk, mix with those who believe in a more realistic Victorian recreation of Dickensian workhouses and pollution and tuberculosis and all the ills that appeared in the Victorian era, and yet still want to do steampunk? How do those two personalities mix?
I think there's again, that's actually a conversation that happens a lot. Everything from, women's corsets, was it a symbol of oppression? And you've got folks who were explorers and, well, that was colonialism. And I mean, I think that you can point to negative social aspects of pretty much any culture. The saying that is, becoming sort of the response to that is, you can have the Victorian aesthetic without the Victorian values. On the other hand, the Victorians also had sort of this elevated sense of chivalry and politeness and courtesy, and you will see that as well, generally speaking, in any sort of steampunk gathering. There's something about maybe the clothing or the ambiance or the history that also kind of brings out the best in people when they're gathered together. I will also say that a very common tenet that you will find at some of the most popular steampunk events, and ours as well, is, again, that aspect of inclusion, not only all ages, but all genders, all skill levels. We will frequently have the most amazing costumes from folks that are transgender and cross-dressing, and it's fantastic, and they are welcome, and they belong, and it's all okay. So regardless of where the roots may have come from, and if you don't appreciate some of the things certainly that went on in the Victorian era, that's completely justifiable. We have taken that to a place where it's sort of the best of, and we're continuing to make it even, I guess, more better, or making it better and more inclusive.
There we go. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Melanie Sheleteau, a co-organizer of Cogs and Corsets, and with Anne-Marie Dittman of the BCPA. Anne-Marie, tell us more about some of the events going on at the BCPA for this event.
Sure. Well, at the BCPA, we we're starting out on Friday with a contra dance. So the ballroom is actually being used as a ballroom, which is really fun for us. So contra dancing is a social dance, and people will be dressed in costume. You don't have to dress in a costume to come do it. And basically there are five basic moves for contra dancing, and there will be live music. And there will be callers for the dance. They're basic moves, and you just follow the collar and do the dance. You don't have to have a partner. So show up, have fun. If you can follow basic instructions, you can do the dance. And they'll go over the basic moves at the beginning of the dance. There will be a break in the dance to go out and see a free demonstration of Arc-A-Tac, which is some amazing Tesla coils out on the lawn. Then they'll go back for a second session of the contra dance. Did you want to say something about
it? Well, I was going to say, when you think contra dance, think square dancing mixed with English country style right. dancing that you might have seen on, you know, sort of
Jane
old
Austen
masterpiece or, theater yeah. shows. And we have the band is coming down from Chicago. They're a well-known contra dance band out of Chicago called I think it's the Hooli Bandicoots.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Gaelic's a little rough, but and then we have professional callers also coming out of Champaign. So this is going to be a well-done event, good for all skill levels, and you just follow the instructions and follow the person in front of you for the most part.
Right. So that's going to be great fun on Friday, starting at 7 p.m. And then we will also have food available for sale on the lawn of the BCPA with tents set up for people to eat outside. So there's food available. Then on Saturday, starting at 2 p.m., we have Arc-A-Tac, which is...
We're so excited about
so
that.
So fun, yeah. So they will bring their Tesla coils inside, and it is... Tesla coils. So it is these shooting
mad scientist electricity.
Yeah,
mad
science electric.
Well, Nikola Tesla wasn't necessarily a mad scientist,
well,
but
he was definitely a scientist.
Maybe mad.
And a genius. We don't know how mad he was. He was definitely a genius. So it's these lightning bolts shooting across the stage. And a light show and electronic music.
So the Arc-A-Tac team, though, you might have seen
science.
Them. And right.
science experiment kind of things going on stage along with the music.
Right. So these guys, if you Google them, they've been on Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman. They've been on America's Got Talent. But this team of guys actually are part engineers, part musicians. So they have built their giant
right.
Tesla coils, which will shoot lightning 15 to 20 feet in the air. They've got Faraday suits and a Faraday cage. So their
right.
musicians will be playing while there's literally 100,000 volts of electricity going
shooting
through
around
them.
The stage.
And then
and
they've created a robot who is their drummer. So you'll actually see robotics in action, who is the drummer. So if you've got kids who are into any of the technology, the science, robotics, this is a show to bring them to. It is going to be wild.
It's
going to be wild.
It's really wild. And there are two shows. So there's a show at 2 p.m. and another show at 7:30 p.m. of Arc-A-Tac. Then between that, we have Joshua Kane, who's doing the Gothic at Midnight. So this is Victorian tales, both humorous and scary. And he'll be very interactive with the audience as he tells these tales of horror and humor.
Melanie, how is steampunk faring as a hobby? Is it growing? What's the percentage of the population? How do you measure... Who likes this?
I would say that, like most things, it sort of has ebbed and waned on the coasts. Here in the Midwest, we come along to things a little later sometimes than the folks on the coast. So it's actually still quite active here in the Midwest states. There's a long-running one up in the Madison, Wisconsin area called TeslaCon that's having their 10th year. And it's for all intents and purposes, is going to be continuing on after this. TeslaCon will actually be here represented, one of the booths here promoting their event. And there's a brand new one starting up in Chicago. There's a they're called Airships when it's sort of a steampunk club, but the Chicagoland Steampunk Symposium Group is going to be also launching their own steampunk event coming in the fall. They'll be here promoting that, and actually they'll be participating in our event as an airship. They'll be hosting Nerf dueling, and one of their folks is going to be an MC for several of our events. So there is sort of this sharing and I guess, compatriot value between the different groups of steampunks. And so in at least for our little neck of the woods here in the Midwest, it's doing well, it's thriving, it's evolving, which I think is the sign of something still being alive and well, is that if it's evolving. And attendance, you know, is up. The economy always drives a lot of attendance. So I think when we see things maybe ebb and fall with attendance, these events, it has everything to do with disposable income and travel. We last year pulled from 6 states in Canada that came to our event and spent the weekend.
And a couple international.
Yeah, a couple people. Yeah, that's right.
From the UK.
That's right. Who happened to be here and took advantage of it. And but I mean, you know, travel costs. So if you know, so the economy does play a factor. But I don't think as a movement, if you start looking on Pinterest and on. You'll see that the creativity is alive and well and swelling.